You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another great and fantastic edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As per usual, I am your host, Hende. I will be with you until 8 p.m. on this Sunday evening, on the surprisingly warm Sunday evening in our supposed winter season. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, your number one sports talk radio show, where we discuss all things sports. We like to peel back the layers. We like to dive deeper. We like to look beyond the surface. We like to discuss more than just what's happening on the sports field. Here on the Eagle Sports Zone, we like to discuss, we like to educate, we like to inquire about why things are, about why things are the way that they are in our sporting industry, both in Namibia, on the continent, and the world at large. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we will be discussing the one and only The World Cup, the 2026 FIFA World Cup, currently taking place in the United States of America, Mexico, and Canada. The first match day was on Thursday. We will get into the scorelines, we will get into the storylines from that in just a few moments here on the Eagle Sports Zone. But today's topic, just to give you a hint of what we're talking about today on the Eagle Sports Zone, seeing that it is World Cup time, seeing that it is World Cup fever, you know, it's that moment we've all been waiting for the past 4 years, for the World Cup to return. This time, an expanded World Cup, 48 teams in the World Cup for the very first time, 10 teams representing our continent, that is Africa, also for the very first time, so it's very historic. So now, with that said, today's topic is around World Cup, you know, merchandise. And by merchandise, I mean flags, I mean shirts, I mean hoodies, I mean apparel. Let's just say apparel, World Cup apparel. Now, you know, in the build-up to the World Cup, you know, if you walk into any store, any flag store, any sporting store, any clothing store, really, it doesn't even have to be a sporting store, any clothing store, you'll find some kind of World Cup section. For the most part, you'll find Bafana Bafana things. And that's understandable because 9 out of 10 of our shops come from South Africa. They're from South Africa, so what else are they supposed to do besides sell South African products? And also, Bafana Bafana is the only team from SADC that's in the World Cup. So that's the closest to what we can have to wearing home apparel for the World Cup. But I was troubled by something in this, when I made this observation about noticing, you know, the World Cup fever, which is nice, by the way. It's something I like to see personally as a sports enthusiast, is the business community trying to hype up the population about a particular sporting event, especially international sporting events, right? But something I noticed, you know, the guys on the streets selling flags, the shops that are selling shirts, you will remain nameless, but you know who you are. I thought to myself, why are there more European items available in these stores in regards to the World Cup than African ones? I just said this is a historic World Cup from an African perspective. There's never been a World Cup with 10 African teams in the World Cup. Okay? And for those that don't know, what the 10 teams are, in the World Cup, we're talking about South Africa, we're talking about Ghana, we're talking about Cote d'Ivoire, we're talking about Egypt, we're talking about Morocco, we're talking about Algeria, we're talking about Tunisia, we're talking about Cape Verde. Who am I leaving out? We're talking about DR Congo, we're talking about Senegal, right? The African champions, despite what the good folks at CAF had to say. Okay. So about 10 African teams, and yet I live in an African country, but it's easier for me to buy an England shirt, it's easier for me to buy a Germany flag, it's easier for me to buy a France flag than it is for me to buy a DR Congo shirt, than it is for me to buy an Algeria shirt, than it is for me to buy a Senegal shirt, a Morocco shirt, a Morocco flag, a Cape Verdean flag. How nice would it be to have Cape Verdean merch. How often do we talk about Cape Verde on the continent, right? And those of you that are faithful listeners of the Eagle Sports Zone, you know that we are Pan-Africanists here on the Eagle Sports Zone, and this got my mind flowing. I said, this is not okay. It's not possible that I live on the continent. My continent is having the most, its highest number of representatives at the biggest sporting event ever. It's literally a historic event. But if I wanted to, I actually can't support my fellow Africans in this tournament because of what's being made available to me on the shelves, on the streets, and so on. So what I decided to do is I decided to reach within my network. I decided to contact some of my brothers and sisters on the continent. So in a few moments, or not in a few moments, but in a bit, when we get deeper into the conversation, we're going to be talking about why is what I just laid out, why does Namibia look like that? How is it possible that in an African nation, it's far easier to buy European and South American World Cup apparel than African apparel? I want an Ivory Coast shirt. Why can't I buy an Ivory Coast shirt the moment I walk out of my door? Why can't I buy a Morocco flag? You know, say what, the tension that's been between Morocco and the rest of the continent, say what you want, but they still are part of the continent. You know, until they officially move to Europe, they still are part of the continent. So we will continue to support them. You know, but why can't I buy a Tunisia flag anywhere in Namibia? But I could easily buy a France flag. Why can't I buy a Senegal flag, a Ghanaian flag? But I can easily buy a Germany flag. No, I'm actually willing, at this point, I'm willing to say it's easier to buy a Germany flag in Namibia than it is probably even at this moment now during World Cup time than it is to buy a Namibian flag even, you know? And of course, on the surface, we know what the reasons for this are. But we'll dive into this in a few moments, because we're going to hear commentary from some people I reached out to in South Africa. We're going to hear from some people I reached out to in Cameroon. We're going to hear from Malawi. We're going to hear from Zambia. We're going to hear from Rwanda. So yes, stay buckled in here on the Eagle Sports Zone. As I said, here on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are Pan-Africanists. We like to support Africa. We like to discuss Africa. And so it shall continue. And today's trivia question of the day that I forgot to mention at the top of the show is, can you call in and tell me who has made the highest number of appearances in a World Cup in total? This is a player. Give me the name of the player who has made the most appearances at the FIFA World Cup. And bonus points if you can guess the number of appearances. I won't give you any hints because the hints will give it away. But anyways, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. If you'd like to call in with any questions, comments, concerns. And there's a World Cup match that is Germany against Curaçao kicking off at 7 p.m. So if anything happens in that fixture, I will keep you up to date, up to breath. And in just a few moments, we'll go through the World Cup storylines and World Cup results thus far, and then, you know, as usual, we'll do our sports business dive. We'll do our local sports business dive. Before we get into our topic of the day. And it's a good time here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Why? Because it is... It is the World Cup. It is the World Cup time. And before we get into more World Cup news, let's get into some local sporting news here in the land of the brave. So we'll start with the annual cricket awards that took place. Oh, we seem to have somebody on the line already. Do call back. with whatever it is you wanted to chime in with. 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Now, let's start with the Cricket Awards. The annual Cricket Awards took place yesterday evening at the F&B Namibia Cricket Ground. And that was the first award that we have here is J.J. Smith won the National Eagles T20 International Player of the Year Award after scoring 250 runs. His highest score was 111 and not out, and he took 20 wickets on the year. So congrats to J.J. The National Eagles ODI, that's One Day International Player of the Year Award, went to Bernard Schultz, who recorded 300 runs and 30 wickets across 11 matches. Next up, we had Jan Jan Freiling took home the Players Player of the Year Award, while the F&B Eagles received the Spirit of Cricket Award for their outstanding team performance. On the ladies' side, Yasmin Khan was named the Capricorn Eagles Batter of the Year for 2025. On the season, she had 419 runs scored from 348 balls across 18 innings. And she concluded with a strike rate of 120 and an average of 23.37. Now, Yasmin also won the Capricorn Eagles Player of the Year Award for 2025. And the Capricorn Eagles Players Player of the Year Award went to Evelyn Kejarukua. So congratulations to all the winners last night at the Cricket Awards. That was just the major award winners. There was far, far more awards being hosted. As we know, Cricket Namibia, the federation that has won the Federation of the Year Award at least six consecutive times. I would have an accurate number on that, but once we get to our topic of the day, you'll see why I don't have an accurate number for that. But let's move on to rugby. Some local rugby, that is round 6 of the Namibia Rugby Union Premier League season, took place. Trusco United beating Grootfontein 29-15. FNB Kudus, thumping FNB Rio Falcon 73-5. And then we had FNB Wanderers against FNB Western Suburbs. FNB Wanderers, as we know, are a strong team in the league, and they beat Western Suburbs 66-7. And from rugby, we move on to another ball sport, that is football. The NFA Cup is currently taking place. They are now in the quarterfinals. At this point, we can say infamous NFA Cup. It is now in the quarterfinals, and the semifinals have been set. We'll start with the women's quarterfinals, where we had the Nust Babes and Julinho Athletics playing to a 0-0 draw, with Julinho winning that on penalties 3-2. So the Julinho ladies advanced to the semifinals. Windhoek City beat the African Stars ladies 2-0. And Unam Bokis took a 4-0 loss to Comas Nampo. And in the last quarterfinal, we had the Mighty Gunners ladies up against the FC Ongos ladies, the newly crowned winners of the FNB Women's Super League. That is, FC Ongos ladies did not make it past the quarterfinals. They were beaten by the Mighty Gunners ladies, who finished second, who took Ongos all the way to the final day of the season. So Mighty Gunners getting their revenge and looking to end the season with some silverware after advancing to the semifinals of the NFA Cup. Now, on the men's side of things, KK Palace beat a Square 7-4, 4-2. UNAM had to go to penalties with Okamwandi United after drawing 0-0, and UNAM took it on penalties 4-2. Mighty Gunners beat Young Brazilians 2-1, and then Okahanja United advanced on penalties as well against Rundu Chiefs after a 1-1 draw in regulation and winning 7-6 on penalties. And then in some volleyball news, our national volleyball side, that's both the men's and women's, were competing in the LA 2028 Olympic Games qualifiers over in Harare. That's in Zimbabwe. And they both finished third after both facing Malawi. They both finished third. The men beat Malawi 3-0. And then the women beat Malawi 3 points to 1. And so a brief statement from the, because this is significant in the volleyball world, so I just want to read you a portion of the statement that was released by the Namibia, Namibia Volleyball Federation. They said that this achievement is particularly significant as it marks Namibia's return to national team competition after almost 20 years. Despite the challenges, our athletes displayed remarkable determination, discipline, and national pride throughout the championship. While we unfortunately did not secure qualification for the LA 2028 Olympic Games, bringing home bronze medals in both categories is a milestone worth celebrating. We remain grateful for your unwavering support, encouragement, and belief in this journey. And so now they look ahead to the 2027 Zone 6 Championship, and they state in the statement that they are committed to working even harder in pursuit of the gold medal. They said that although LA 2028 was beyond their reach, Australia 2032 will find Namibia ready. Wow. You know, even to hear numbers like 2032 is quite, it's exciting, but it just means we're getting closer and closer to Vision 2030. So time is ticking. And now we will get into our sports business segment of the day, where we discuss various sports business stories from around the continent. And to no surprise, our first one has to do with the World Cup. Wait, has to do with the... Our first sports business story has to do with the... Yes, has to do with the World Cup, where it has been announced that the minimum that FIFA will pay the 10 African nations participating at the World Cup. This is now, if every African team was to be eliminated in the group stage, the minimum payout will be $125 million is how much they will get. And a run to the semifinals is worth over $30 million that will go to a single federation. So the 125 is how much the 10 teams in total will get. So if you do the math, that's 12.5 million each at minimum is how much these teams are going to get for just participating in the World Cup. The total prize money for this World Cup is $727 million. And FIFA has paid $120 million in preparation grants. And as I said, each team is guaranteed a minimum. Each federation is guaranteed a minimum of $12.5 million. That converts to around 200 million Namibian dollars. And then the winning side, the maximum that they can earn is 56 million. So whoever wins the World Cup is going to win almost $1 billion Namibian dollars. Let's call it 900 million Namibian dollars is what you'll get for winning the World Cup. So, you know, had the Brave Warriors qualified, they would have been rolling in cash no matter what the results were going to be. So our first sports business story takes us to one of our favorite regions of the continent here on the Eagle Sports Zone that we seem to be discussing a lot, but that's because there's a lot happening over there in the world of sports, is Uganda wins the right to host the 2031 Africa Games, beating West Africans Nigeria in the bidding race. And it will be the first time that the East African nation will stage the continent's premier multi-sport team competition. This was announced during an extraordinary session of the African Union Specialized Technical Committee on Youth Sports and Culture, which was held virtually. So yeah, there's a lot happening in the, as I said, happening in the East African, in the eastern part of the continent. Because Uganda is already part of the East African trio that's going to host the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations. You know, it's going to be Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya. And then that will be the first time that three nations have jointly hosted the tournament. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right, my brother.
What would you like to share with us today?
Today, just so... disappointment for Bafana Bafana. those guys, the way they are playing, I don't think even they will be able to win any game at all.
It's not Super Disky, my friend.
No, man. It's like they are not even having enough progression or something.
No.
This is what I was expecting from them.
Yeah, no, it shows, it shows that there are levels in this game.
Yeah, but really, they're supposed to handle, man. Because Mexico is not tough. I don't think Mexico is even going so far. Comparing to South Korea, which is there.
Yeah.
And the Czech.
Yeah, no, South Korea is good.
Yeah, very good. I'm telling you, I watch all those games and then I'm telling you, South Korea, there's something else.
Yeah.
I think Mexico, if they make it, I think Mexico in that group is going out and South Korea.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see Bafana beating South Korea. Seriously, I don't think so.
I don't see it also. I don't see it.
They are really, really disappointing. Really. Apart from that, only that now, this World Cup is very controversial when you check what is happening currently.
Yeah, well,
denying even the referee to enter.
Yeah, and the Somali referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're going to get into all of that in a few moments.
All right.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think FIFA, if it doesn't fair game, fair play, then I think they've been supposed to revoke the World Cup from America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that they're supposed to divert the guy to
hold
go
on.
To Mexico. And,
hold
Canada.
On. Let's quickly go for a commercial break.
Okay.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Alright, we are back.
Yeah, what I was saying is that they're supposed to give the guy what a second chance to go to referee either Mexico or Canada.
Yeah.
When he was denied the injuries.
Yeah, but they said the problem is the refs, they are based in their camp is in the States.
Yeah, the problem, that is the problem. And I see also with Iran, they're supposed to change the game, the schedule of Iran. Because remember, Iran, all the free games they are playing in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not friendly at all. each other. Now, so really, just imagine you are playing, but you don't have any support at all. And the time which was allocated also, after the game, you have to go to the bus, go straight to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, doesn't make like really fair enough for me.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, anyway, we'll keep listening, so maybe I'll come later today.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and the question is, that Ronaldo, then?
No, Close, but no, it's not here. It's not here.
Okay, sure.
It's not here. Yes, a trivia question of the day. Can you call in and tell me who has played the most matches at the FIFA World Cup? The caller said Ronaldo. Incorrect, but they're getting close. They're getting close to the correct answer. Anyways, let's finish here with our sports business stories. We will go now to Charlton Athletic. That's the team in the championship over in England. They launched an international football program with the Mark Fish Foundation. They signed a partnership in South Africa. They signed a strategic partnership with the Mark Fish Foundation, becoming the first partnership to close under the club's newly launched international football program. It was formalized at a signing ceremony held at the Barrel Room over in South Africa. It was signed by Alan Kirbishley. Those of you that are longtime Premier League watchers, you will know who Alan Kirbishley is, former manager of Charlton. Yeah, I think he managed West Ham also. And then Mark Fish, of course, who played for Charlton, played for Bafana Bafana, and of course is the founder of the Mark Fish Foundation. So, you know, it's good to see these partnerships happening. Good to see European teams and African teams or organizations coming together to help the youth. So we look forward to seeing what this partnership will produce over the years. Next up, if you are a Eagle Sports Zone listener from Nigeria, from Ghana, or from Kenya, you, if you didn't know already, you can watch, I'm telling you now that you can watch the World Cup for free because Sporty TV has secured free-to-air rights for the World Cup. But I have to make it clear, it's not for all of the matches. It's only for, quote-unquote, only for 34 matches. I mean, that's better than nothing. I know there's some people listening right now that didn't want to pay their multi-choice subscription to watch the World Cup. So unfortunately, those of us that don't live there, you're gonna have to fork out the dollars for multi-choice. But you know, they have good specials running around for the World Cup, so they've made it affordable for everyone. Or seemingly affordable for everyone. But what Sporty TV has done is they secured free-to-air broadcast rights for 34 matches of the World Cup across Nigeria, Ghana, and Kenya. This included the opening match, the knockout stage fixtures, and the final. And this is a kind of deal that we've rarely seen on the continent, because it covers 17 group stage matches and 17 knockout matches, and you will be able, if you live in these countries, you're able to stream them live on Sporty TV's official YouTube channel and on their app. They have a mobile application as well. So, you know, this just goes back to the conversation that we keep having here about how the modern fan, there's many ways to engage the modern fan. The modern fan wants accessibility. They don't want many excuses. They want to be able to pick up their phone and watch the World Cup at 3 a.m. And things like this make things like that happen. And then there's one more deal I want to talk about, and that is a deal between... Actually, there's two more. So one from East Africa and one from West Africa. We'll start with the West African one, and that is KFC Ghana signed a sponsorship deal with the Ghanaian Football Association. It says here that they have entered into a new sponsorship partnership with the Ghanaian Football Association, aligning the brand with Ghana's national teams during what promises to be one of the most consequential years in the country's footballing history. This deal runs through May 2027, and it spans three major competitions. That is this current 2026 FIFA World Cup, qualifying campaign for the 2027 AFCON, and then the 2026 Women's African Cup of Nations being held in Morocco. And speaking of 2026 African Cup of Nations being held in Morocco, Morocco came out and said that after, I believe, this Women's World Cup, they said that they are done hosting or bidding for continental honors. They said it's now time for the rest of Africa to fill that gap. They said they're only focusing now on the major international tournaments. And they've already succeeded because they are going to be co-hosts for the 2030 World Cup in tandem with Spain and Portugal. So it'll be interesting to see who on the continent is going to step up. We know South Africa is capable. We know what's going to happen in East Africa. Let's see who else on the continent will step up for these things. So yes, another interesting partnership that was announced there. And then the second one is from East Africa, where it says, where they say that the Uganda eyes Premier League jersey deals in a push to globalize the Visit Rwanda, Uganda brand. See, I almost said Rwanda. I almost said Rwanda because basically they want to emulate what Visit Rwanda has done. You know, if you watch the Champions League final this past season, all four teams in the semifinals were sponsored by Visit Rwanda. PSG ended up winning. They are sponsored by Visit Rwanda. Had Arsenal had won it, they are also sponsored by Visit Rwanda. So Visit Rwanda won big in this year's Champions League. And by all accounts, this is what Uganda is trying to achieve as well. It says that they are in advanced discussions with several English Premier League clubs to feature their Visit Uganda brand on their match jerseys in a push to convert football's global reach into sustained tourism growth. And so, yeah, this just marks a, indicates a shift in Uganda's international marketing strategy, where they are now moving towards a high visibility sports partnership designed to amplify national branding across global audiences. Again, basically emulating what Visit Rwanda has done. And you know, that's like most industries. You just have to implement what you've seen somewhere else and make it work for yourself. And I'm glad to see that more African nations are leveraging the power of sport. And this actually transitions well into our topic of the day. But before I get into our topic of the day, let's talk a little bit of World Cup action. It is still match day one currently in the 2026 FIFA World Cup. So we'll start from the very beginning with Mexico and South Africa. As we all know, as the previous caller alluded to, Mexico beat South Africa 2-0. There were 3 red cards in that match. 2 for South Africa, 1 for Mexico. South Africa did not look good, unfortunately. And then we had South Korea up against Czechia. South Korea took that one 2-1. South Korea looked very, very good in that fixture. Canada and Bosnia and Herzegovina, they played to a 1-1 draw. Host US of A, they beat Paraguay 4-1 in what was a very, I want to say, un-USA-like performance, because it was actually a very good performance. Normally USA looks shaky at the World Cup, but they seem to take in that next step. Qatar and Switzerland played it to a 1-1 draw. Brazil and Morocco also played to a 1-1 draw, and Brazil didn't paint themselves in the best of lights, but Morocco certainly painted themselves in a great light. And you know, like I said at the top of the show, say what you want to say about Morocco, however you feel about Morocco, however you feel about what happened at the AFCON, but there's a reason why they're the only team to have made a World Cup semifinal on the continent. And let's see, maybe this year they'll make a final. Maybe it'll be Senegal this year. But I think the African pool looks very, very strong this year. This probably the strongest it's ever looked, to be honest. And then we had Scotland face up against Haiti. Scotland took that one 1-0. And then this morning we had the Aussies up against Turkey. The Aussies took that one 2-0. And you know, there's a lot of teams at this World Cup. There's a lot of teams at this World Cup. I'm talking about Qatar. I'm talking about Switzerland. I'm talking about Australia. Where if you look at the names of the players on these teams, if you had just looked at the names, you would think, how How is a person with the surname Tore Australian? How is a person with the surname Irankunda Australian? Right? And when I was listening to the commentary, they were saying that this striking duo, that they're actually refugees. That they were born in Tanzania and settled as refugees in Australia. Same thing with if you go to the Swiss team. If you go to the Swiss team, let me just read you the surnames of their front three. There's Briel Embolo, who we've known now for a while in the Swiss team. But that's not a typical Swiss name. Ruben Vargas, that's not a typical Swiss name. Dan Doye, that's not a typical Swiss name. I mean, there's someone with the surname Zakaria in the Swiss team. So again, something we always talk about here on the Eagle Sports Zone, about globalization, how globalization is a thing in the world, and how it's bleeding over, or has been for many, many years now, bleeding over into the sporting world. But this World Cup in particular is highlighting that more than ever before, I feel. And this evening, we have Germany up against Curacao. So the Mannschaft looking to start their campaign. They start in about 15 minutes. As usual, if anything changes in that, if anything happens in that fixture, I will let you know. What I can let you know is that Kai Havertz is starting for them with Musiala in the 10, Sané on the right, and Wirtz on the left. And then in the evening, we will have Netherlands up against Japan. That is at 10 p.m. tonight. And then for those of you that don't sleep, we have Côte d'Ivoire up against Ecuador at 1 a.m. And then Sweden and Tunisia, they face off at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, speaking of, you know, people that sound like they're not from the country that they're representing, I want to touch on Morocco real quick, and then we'll get into some of the not so nice storylines coming from this World Cup. Right? I want to touch on for Morocco for 1 second. Morocco is the first country to participate at a World Cup where they have a first 11 of players that were not born in that country. That's Morocco. And I'll read you every single one of these guys and where they were born. So,
do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kilograms of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. On the Eagle Sports Zone, today's topic of conversation is the
World Cup!
We're talking World Cup today here on the Eagle Sports Zone. And before the commercial break, I was telling you about how I want to discuss the Moroccan national team. They're the first team in World Cup history to play an 11 of players that were not born in the nation that they're representing. Okay? We'll start with the goalkeeper, Bono. Bono was born in Canada. Issa Diop, the center back, you can guess where he was born, France. And I didn't look it up now, but I'm sure he has some West African lineage to him as well. The other center half, Shadi Riyad. He was born in Spain. The right back, the captain, CAF African Player of the Year, Achraf Hakimi. Where was he born? Spain. Mazraoui. He was born in the Netherlands. the young midfielder, the 18-year-old who played an exceptional game against Brazil. Buadi. Ayub Buadi, 18 years old. Plays his club football for Lille. He, unironically, was born in France. Ainui. Neil L. Ainui. Where was he born? France. Brahim Diaz. Oh no, Diaz is not part of the list. Excuse me. Diaz is not part of the list. But okay, let me go through the rest of the names. Okay. Ismael Saibari. Where was he born? Spain. He's the striker. He's the one that scored against Brazil. Samir Mourabet. Where was he born? France. Canus. Where was he born? Belgium. And then, lastly, Talbi. Champs Dean Talbi. Where was he born? Belgium as well. So, for the first time, we see a full team of players not born in the country that they're representing. And then if you flip the coin on the whole other side of the continent, South Africa is one of 8 countries where, okay, it's not exactly the same thing, but South Africa is one of 8 countries at the World Cup where each player was born in the country. And the other nations where this is happening is, the other nations where all the players representing the nation are born in the country are Saudi Arabia. This is now the full squad was born in the country. So Saudi Arabia, Austria, Brazil, Colombia, Czechia, Panama, Sweden, and of course South Africa. So some interesting little side stories coming from the World Cup there. And then now it's time for us to talk about the not so nice moments happening at the FIFA World Cup. Let's first get into some of the things making negative headlines. So let's start with the guy I just mentioned, I was talking about on the Swiss national team, Brel Embolo. I mean, we saw him on the field, but he was only able to join his team later because he had issues with his visa. He was put under review, so he was only able to join his team later. Iraqi national team player Ayman Hussein was held for questioning for nearly 7 hours upon entering the United States. The Iranian national team spent days dealing with visa procedures at the U.S. consulate in Turkey. The U.S. only allowed them entry on match days, and 15 members of the delegation were denied visa of the Iranian delegation. The caller, as the caller alluded to, about the Somalian referee, whose name is Omar Artan, who was named CAF's best referee in 2025, was denied a visa to the United States. This was despite traveling to the USA on a diplomatic passport when he was refused entry and sent back to Somalia. And then if you look up on social media, he actually returned to Somalia to a hero's welcome. He's actually a celebrity there now. And then FIFA said he's not able to officiate at the tournament at all, which is ridiculous. Then we are well aware of what was happening with South Africa, with their national team arriving in the United States much later than planned because part of their delegation were not granted visa. Members of the Senegal national team staff were forced to remove their shoes and be subject to lengthy searches. You know, they were being treated like criminals, essentially. I've never seen an international tournament where players get searched in the way that the Senegalese team was being patted down. And then this is even affecting Europeans. Some Scottish supporters, despite being eligible to enter the United States visa-free under the ESTA program, had their travel authorizations revoked just days before their departure. And this is happening to fans from several nations from around the world are having problems getting into the USA. And then this is what Mr. Infantino. The president of FIFA had to say to in regards to some of this negative backlash that quite frankly that FIFA is rightfully receiving. Okay? Here's what he had to say. And after that we'll briefly talk about Infantino and his presidency at FIFA. Here's what he had to say.
Suspected terror organization, told he can't enter the United States, sent back home, accused of having links with suspected terror organizations. We have Mexico having to change their training, Iran having to change their training base here to Mexico. We have fans and journalists from a number of countries who aren't able to attend this World Cup because of travel bans or visa restrictions. You yourself have said in the past how important it is to have freedom of movement at a global event like this. You've said how inclusive it is, how welcoming it is as well. Are you embarrassed, therefore, by what actually has come to pass? And do you have to accept that you've lost some control of your own tournament here?
Before I let Infantino answer, what a question by the journalist. This is why we need the media, is to ask questions like this and report on things like this. Thank you, Mr. His name isn't here, but he works for the BBC. You deserve a raise, sir. But let's take a listen to how Infantino answered this. A very important question.
Thanks for... You're from BBC? BBC. You know, in 2035, I think, we hope, the Women's World Cup will be in the UK, right? Still needs to be a decision, but looks like. Would you find it normal that FIFA would dictate to the British government who to let in the country and who not to let in the country?
I'll let him continue, but whenever you answer a question with another question, you already know you're in trouble. But let's listen to what else he had to say.
I don't know. Maybe you find it normal. I would like, personally, on the other side, the reality of the matter is that in every country there are governments. Try to get into the UK, into Germany, into Switzerland without a visa. Try to get a visa if you are from a certain country. It's not easy. That's what I want to say. It's not easy when you have 300,000 accredited people, majority of which from outside of the US, to process them, to vet them. You don't know. Unfortunately, our world is, you know, a very...
It's not easy, but we've seen it happen many, many times before. We saw it happen in Qatar. 300,000 people were accredited easily. No one had issues getting into Qatar. We saw it in Russia. No one had issues getting into Russia. No one had issues getting into Brazil. No one had issues getting into South Africa. No one had issues getting into Germany. No one had issues getting into... Where was that one? Where was 2002? Japan, I think. No one had issues getting into there. No one had issues getting into France. So I don't know what he's talking about here, but let's let him continue.
Aggressive world, and security goes above everything, and you need to respect the decisions which are taken. And when I say to chill, I don't mean to chill and do nothing. I mean to trust us that we are working behind the scenes. We are trying to understand, and there are things we can know, things we cannot know, things we are told, things we are not told. And we always try to make the situation as positive as possible and to find solutions. Sometimes we manage, other times not. You know, I think it has already been successful to bring Iran to play in America. I don't know who would have managed to do that. And of course, everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Let me let him finish. Let me let him finish.
He believes it's the right thing to do. But you know, again, we don't live on the moon. We live on planet Earth, and you have to deal with different situations. We try to do our best.
So basically, what this guy wants is he wants a pat on the back for Iran playing in the World Cup that they qualified for. And he said we don't live on the moon. We live on Earth. That's the kind of answer you would say if you did live on the moon, Mr. Infantano. Okay? No one's gonna give you a pat on the back for allowing a team to participate in a tournament that they qualified for. Simply not. You know, FIFA is an interesting organization, right? It's obviously the international governing body of the game that we all love. You know, those of you that been around for a while, you know what happened with Sepp Blatter. You know, people are even saying they actually miss Sepp Blatter now after the whole fiasco with this Infantano gentleman. But FIFA is a very interesting organization. The things that FIFA sometimes allows to happen and sometimes doesn't allow to happen are very interesting. Let me just say it like that. And I'm 99.999% sure that when it is time for the re-election of Infantano, I think we're going to have a new FIFA president. Because some of this stuff that's happening and some of his responses to some of the things that are happening, it's just not okay.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. The number in this studio is 083-288-4001. That's 083-288-4001. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are discussing the
World Cup!
The 2026 FIFA World Cup. As I speak right now, Germany is kicking off against Curaçao. Die Mannschaft. The team with the joint second most World Cups, that's four behind Brazil, joint with Italy. Let's see if they can redeem themselves. They've had a few terrible campaigns, really since winning the World Cup in 2014. They haven't been any good at the World Cup, so we'll see. We'll see about Die Mannschaft and how they will do at this tournament. At the very minimum, they need to get out of the group. If they don't get out of the group, that's quite embarrassing. Because, as we know, it's an expanded World Cup, 48 teams. So the top two will advance, and then eight more teams that finish third. The best eight third place finishers will also qualify for the round of 32. So if Germany doesn't make that, that's an abomination. Okay? So anyways, speaking of Germany, now let's get into our topic of the day, where I want us to talk about why, in a World Cup with 10 African teams, can me as a Namibian, why can I not buy apparel from any of the African teams? I'm not counting South Africa because, you know, retail-wise, we're basically mini South Africa. What they sell in South Africa, they sell here. So, you know, round of applause, you can buy Bafana Bafana merchandise in South African stores. That's insignificant to this conversation, okay? What I want to know is, why can't I buy a DR Congo shirt? Why can't I buy a Ghanaian shirt? Why can't I buy an Algerian shirt? Why can't I buy an Egyptian shirt? Why can't I buy a Senegalese shirt, a Moroccan shirt, a Cape Verdean shirt? You get my point. why can't I buy these? But I can buy French, I can buy England, I can buy Brazil, I can buy Portugal, I can buy Germany, like we said just now. Why? I can buy Argentina. You know? For some of these nations like Argentina, I actually don't even know if we have an Argentinian embassy or anything in Namibia to begin with, right? But you can find their shirts and their flags everywhere in Namibia. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening. Long time, how are you?
I'm doing good, how are you?
Oh, we same good.
Yeah.
I always listen to your program where you bring in this expert. See?
Yeah, well, there's a few coming up now.
So those investments, what, how to make money and things like that. Now, your question is very crucial.
Yeah.
Very important indeed. And that's why I was saying that Morocco, South Africa, I mean, this one that I have watched.
Yeah.
African countries that I have watched. And, you know, I mentioned that me, even though I support, I like the style of Brazilian. In this case, when they meet with the African team,
yeah,
I'm definitely compiled my conscience. Compiled me to support the African team, and this is derived from the. So let me. What time are you looking? Of course, there's a lot of noise here now.
I'll be done at 8. So
let me call you in the next 3 minutes.
Okay. Yes, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401 if you'd like to chime in with any questions, comments, or concerns. And so at the top of the show, I was asking why me as an African, can I not support my African brothers and sisters whilst living in Africa? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. And of course, we know what the answer to this question is, but you know, I wanted to, instead of just saying supply and demand and, oh, everyone likes European teams, those are the best teams, blah, blah, blah. Instead of saying that, I wanted to dive deeper into what's actually happening. And I wanted to also find out, is this what's happening? Is this exclusive to Namibia or is it happening on the continent also? Okay. So we're going to start with Tommy, founder, creator of Tommy Soccer, the famous soccer blog online from South Africa. So we'll start with him. We'll start with our brothers down south. What he had to say about the situation. I asked him about it. Let's take a listen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are now joined by none other than the man himself, all the way in South Africa, Mr. Tommy Mshengu, the founder, the owner, the innovator of Tommy Soccer. Tommy, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Hidi, and also good afternoon to the listeners. Yes. Great to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making the time. So let's get right into it today. We're here to talk about the World Cup. Tell us, you know, give us your initial feelings on the World Cup. Bafana is about to play. How are you feeling over there in South Africa?
Bafana is about to play Mexico tonight at 10 o'clock. Yeah, it's one of those rare feeling when it comes to World Cup or other major tournaments. They neutralize the nationality of other players so that they can play for their own country. So South Africa tried that. Remember the first World Cup, I think it was 1998 in France. So we tried to use that method remember there was a Pierre Issa, but the same player which we neutralized to be a South African, even though one of his parents were born in South Africa, gave us own goals against France. One of the own goals against France. We tried to do the same thing in the next World Cup. I think it's 2022, in Korea. Ne? Mm-hmm. We adopted Hans Funk. And then in 2010, we started now to believe in our local talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what has been happening in the last, 16 years. We have tried to use our players who are born in South Africa. Yes, there were some times where South Africa were tempted to neutralize some of the players. We were doing very, very well in the PSL, but I don't know what happened in the past 5 years, but as you know, right now, we are one of the 8 countries which are using players which are born in South Africa, which are born in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's very good to see, and it's very good that there's at least one African country where this is the case. So tell me, there's one more thing I want us to talk about, and it's so here in Namibia, you know, mm-hmm. for the World Cup fever, if you go in the shops, if you go, you know, to the street vendors, you'll find people selling flags, people selling national team shirts for the World Cup. But one thing that's happening here is there's more European flags, more South American flags than African flags, even though this is a World Cup where there's the most African teams ever. So I want to hear, as someone who covers African football, especially Southern African football, what do you think when you hear something like that?
Let me talk about South Africa. South Africa is one of the unique African countries. Né? For example, in South Africa, if you can ask any player which team supports, he will mention first South African team.
Yeah.
Say Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns. Né? We've noticed that if you see the televised matches in South Africa, especially the Soweto Derby, it's rare to find maybe a kid from the EPL, La Liga, and all those stuff. That is our culture. We always believe in our own teams, in our own players, than other countries which we believe in our own league. Then the other leagues come second.
Yes, so that was Tommy Mshengo basically saying that in South Africa, it's the polar opposite to what's happening in Namibia. In South Africa, they support their local teams. You know, he said that if you ask a South African, what team do you support, they will more than likely mention a local team. They'll likely say Chiefs, Pirates, or Sundowns. In Namibia, if you ask someone, what team do you support, they're 9.9 times out of 10, they're going to say Man United, they're going to say Arsenal, they're going to say Liverpool, some will say Madrid, some will say Barcelona. Very, very, I think, I'm actually willing to put money on this. If you ask someone, what team do they support in Namibia, no one is going to say an NPL team. We're automatically going to think you're asking about an EPL team. Right? And okay, and you might be a Man United fan that also supports African stars, but the first answer you're going to give Man United. That's just how it is, right? In our, in our country. We'll listen to a few more. Now we're going to go to Cameroon. This is from my good friend. My good friend Andre Owumu. I asked him a similar set of questions to say, please paint the picture for me. What's happening in Cameroon? This is what Andre had to say. Actually, yeah, let's listen to what Andre had to say all the way from Cameroon.
Yes, of course, you find a lot of flags and jerseys of teams that participate in the World Cup in the Cameroon market, I mean, in the shops and on the streets. The reason is very simple. You know, in the recent years, African countries and Cameroon, especially Cameroon, have signed a lot of trade agreements with China, which is the biggest manufacturer of sports products. These have given the opportunity for Chinese to exploit our markets and to flood our market with their product. The World Cup is an opportunity for them to exploit the passion that the Cameroonians have with football. You know, Cameroon is World Cup is a very popular event out there. Cameroon is the country of football. We breathe football. We eat football. The World Cup, the Chinese are exploiting this passion to flood our market with product. But people don't only buy these flags or jerseys because they like this team or this team, but also because China has the capacity to manufacture a big quantity of this product and to flood our market. So at a cheap price. So it's the opportunity to have the replica of your best team or your best player, and also to have clothes very cheap, season clothes very cheap.
Yes, that's Brother Andre in his first clip that he gave us. We're going to listen to one or two more. But basically saying that, look, he's saying the picture in Cameroon looks like Namibia's, but exasperated because there's more people there. So the volume of apparel is even more. And he's saying that the reason this exists is because, one, we know all about the different agreements and whatnot that China has signed with Africa. We know about how African goods, let's just say we know about the relationship between China and Africa. And he's saying that because China is able to produce so many kits at such a low price, he used the words, they exploit our passion for football by flooding our markets with European merchandise, is how Andre put it. And for the most, actually, I agree with Andre with what he's saying. And in a few moments, we'll get into why these things are able to happen. I just want us to get context from around the continent. But before we move on to what else Andre had to say, when I was playing the response from Infantano to the questions from the BBC journalist, where basically he was saying there's nothing we can do, we have to follow countries, what if anyone wanted to come into your country in England, blah blah blah, that excuse of an answer that he gave. One thing I forgot to mention is that during the 2018 World Cup, remember I said no other World Cup has had these issues except this one. During the 2018 World Cup, when Russia was host, they had to suspend their normal visa rules for the tournament. Why? Because what FIFA did, they developed something called Fan ID. Foreigners with tickets could enter visa-free using a scheme called the Fan ID. So I say that to say that yes, FIFA absolutely 1000% does have the ability to dictate the conditions of host governments for their tournaments. But they only do that when it suits them. And we know why they're not doing anything in this situation. Because it suits them. I mean, we're talking about a FIFA president that gave a, I forgot what it's called, a Peace Prize Award or whatever. Something that's never been done before in the history of FIFA. But Infantino found a way to give this award to the President of the United States. So, took a little detour there, just to give context to what I was playing earlier. But also I want to have balance to this conversation. So far, you know, when we put that kind of stuff aside, this has been a good World Cup. I can't deny it. Like, the bad stuff excluded now. You know, especially with the Somali ref. That to me was egregious. But if we count what's been happening on the field, the videos that we're seeing from the fan fest, the videos we're seeing from foreigners being in America for the first time, you know, I saw videos of Mexicans and South Koreans having a good time together. Moments like that, that's what sports is about. That's why we wait 4 years for this competition. But anyways, let's continue to what brother Andre from Cameroon had to say about this topic.
Unfortunately, you will find more replica European countries than replica of African countries. The reason for this is that we live in a global world, and in such condition, we all follow the waves that are created with the most powerful countries. You know, what makes the power in football is money and entertainment. Where do you find it? In Europe, in America. So, our leagues in Africa, like in Cameroon, the national championship is not even shown on TV. I've been in Namibia. I tried to find the information about the national league on the internet. I couldn't find it. So, what do young people see every Sunday or every Wednesday? It's European leagues or the Champions League. What are the players they know? This player play in European leagues and in the Champions League. And most of these international stars and Europeans or American, you have a very few African star in this country. So young people, they are buying the replica of their best player, the player they watch in European League. That's why you will find more European countries or American countries jerseys or flags during the World Cup. So I'm not surprised to discover that in Namibia you find more merchandise of European than of Africa. And maybe to give you an example of what I explained above, I have been in Namibia in last July. And I tried to ask young people on the street to tell me what they know about Cameroon football. If they know some players in Cameroon, you'll be surprised. They only told me the new Onana, because he's playing in Manchester United, and also the second player they knew were Abubakar Vincent, because he scored a lot of goals in Africa Cup Nation. But apart of Onana and Abubakar Vincent, most of the young people I met, let's say 99% of them didn't know another player in Cameroon. You understand? Why? What is the reason? Because you don't find those players nowadays in big clubs in Europe. you understand? But for me, this issue is not about supporting African football or supporting, it's about supporting African football. You know, there's no one who supports anyone in this world simply because he wants to support him. You always support someone because you have an interest behind it. For me, the issue, you have to look at this issue from the angle of what do we propose to our population as a football product. The more we will entertain our football, the more we will entertain our teams, the more we will put money in our teams. When I talk about money, you need to understand that they will always expect people who have a lot of money. Unfortunately, players who play, African players, the majority of African players don't have money. No one will respect them. They will not be popular. The only African footballers who are popular, who are respected, are those playing in Europe. So we need to invest to find solution to make our football more popular, to entertain it more, to bring it more to the population, so that we can create an interest to the young people.
So my brother Andre is getting closer and closer to answering the question. I mean, he basically answered it. We'll listen to a few more voices from around the continent. That was in Cameroon. Now we bounce over to Malawi to hear from brother Amin Musa, who works for the Malawi Broadcast Corporation. Let's take a listen to what Amin had to say about this situation.
Moving.
Actually, before I let Amin go, I wanna follow up a bit on what brother Andre said, especially in the part where he said that he was here in Namibia, in the land of the brave, all the way from Cameroon. He said he was here.
No, next time I'm going.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Sorry, yes, because we did not finish our story.
Okay.
Good evening once more again.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's good that I listened to those colleagues of ours,
yeah,
the comrades.
Mm-hmm.
Let me keep them comrades, because it's very necessary to combine our effort and do something now.
Yeah.
The one from Cameroon is saying that the Chinese and all this, ourselves included, they are getting opportunity.
Yeah.
And spread the market. I'm not so sure whether those T-shirts, like Nigerian T-shirt, or this African, those teams that are participating in the World Cups, whether their attires are in our shops here, in our market. Maybe it's the problem of, I don't know whether it's to produce or what is it. Are they there? I'm not sure.
No, they are not.
They are not, you know?
They are not. I only saw in one shop that had Senegal and mm-hmm. I think Ivory Coast.
I know South Africa is...
Obviously South Africa also.
Yeah,
but,
obviously.
Yeah.
So I remember during this World Cup in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people were wearing, and some of them were selling South African Bafana attire and things like that.
Yeah.
So the question was today, and I was with one of the coach, it is the question that their colleagues, Abigail,
mm-hmm.
posed to us, is that why is the Namibian team not there? So that one may be symbol. It's self-explanatory. I don't need to go there.
Yeah.
So, but is the market for some of those products, or is that the spirit of Africa, the spirit of what, Pan-Africanism or whatever it is?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the thing. Now I'm going to go on to further to discuss why do we not have the same passion for African teams like we have for European teams?
At least.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
so please,
you'll find a Namibian, they won't have a problem spending 1,000 on a Brazil shirt. But if you ask them to spend 1,000 on a DR Congo shirt, they'll say for what?
And DR Congo is the one representing us there.
Exactly.
And they are even tough. And they are good, those boys.
Yeah.
So please, let's hear, please question them, and I don't know where you are going to get the authoritative view.
Mm-hmm.
That why is it, if it's, the market is too small, so where can we expand and diversify those economic activities?
Yeah.
So that maybe we can also have something. Or maybe next time, because I know Namibia very soon, because of our spirit of tolerance and love, and you know, the environment, very soon we will host those kind of programs.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, ne?
All right. Yes, that was the caller coming in with their contribution. And, you know, we're getting very, I'm sitting here knowing the answer to my question, but we're getting very close to answering this question. I'm glad the callers are chiming in. I'm glad my, like the caller said, my comrades from around the continent are chiming in. But now we're going to Malawi to my brother Amin Musa from the Malawian Broadcasting Corporation. Let's take a listen to what Amin had to say about this.
In all cities, three big cities of Malawi, in terms talking of Blantyre, Lilongwe, and Nzuzu, the streets and the big shops are flooded with European jerseys in terms of the teams who have qualified to the World Cup. You talk of Brazil dominates, Portugal also dominates, France and England. Replica jerseys as well as the flags for these countries are being sold everywhere. Like maybe these countries are coming to Malawi. You may wonder that no much African jerseys are found on the streets. I've only seen a little, maybe from South Africa, because a lot of Malawians travel to South Africa, so it's like maybe we are related, but I haven't seen much African merchandise, African flags.
With a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators, shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Jerseys are found on the streets. I've only seen a little, maybe from South Africa, because a lot of Malawians travel to South Africa, so it's like maybe we are related, but I haven't seen much African merchandise, African flags and African jerseys being flooded or being sold in streets as well as big shops. But European merchandise, Brazilian flags, Brazilian replica jerseys, we talk of Portuguese, France, and of course England, are everywhere. Vendors and the big shops are selling them. So I haven't seen much merchandise from African clubs, African teams, which have qualified into the World Cup. Maybe I feel like it is due to previous performance of these African teams in World Cup. Like, as you know, that they don't perform better to the maximum, maybe reaching the final or winning the World Cup. So it seems like Africans have lost trust to African teams in terms of World Cup. They feel that they just go there to participate, not to compete. So it is discouraging them to buy merchandise, to buy flags, to buy replica jerseys. So you can see that as Malawi streets, a lot of European merchandise have been dominating, more especially Portuguese and Brazilians. It is quite disappointing for me, as well as for the Africans, to see the African cities, African streets flooded with more merchandise from Europe than African. As we are talking that more African countries now have qualified to the World Cup, but no much merchandise being sold in across African countries. This means that we lack patriotism to African, we lack trust, and we don't love African football, because we sell more African European football than African. Even if you look at the CAF Champions League, CAF Confederation, if you compare them with European UEFA League, UEFA Conference, or UEFA Europa, you see that African people watch and support more European leagues than African leagues. So it is quite disappointing. We lack patriotism. Now, as for the countries which are competing now in the World Cup, I feel I see that maybe this time around France will carry the day, will win the championship, will claim the title, having lost in a previous edition to Qatar, to Argentina in Qatar. So I feel like France will this time around win the World Cup. Thank you.
Yes, that was Brother Amin from Malawi. He's also getting closer and closer to the to answering the question. I mean, most of these guys have basically answered the question, but Brother Amin is basically saying that as Africans, we don't spend money on African merchandise because we don't believe that they'll win. Now, whilst I have to slightly disagree with him, because whilst that might be a legitimate reason, I don't think it's a good reason. Because I don't think if you go anywhere in Asia, you know, no Asian country has ever won the World Cup. But if you go, you won't go to South Korea and find South Koreans buying European merchandise. Now, part of that is because South Korea does actually qualify for the World Cup, but you get my point. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, brother, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yes, what would you like to share with us?
I want to touch something when you bring up like merchandise which we are buying from European. You see, the thing for me, like myself,
mm-hmm.
in my own opinion, mm-hmm. let them send out the T-shirt for France,
yeah.
Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, yeah. Tunisia. Tunisia, I think it's okay. But most of those countries, I prefer to buy France mm-hmm. because they are more representative quality than comparing it to these guys. They are somehow, you can see this, they're having black people, but they are not using them.
Okay, well, okay, so, but now what about Senegal, Ghana, Ivory Coast, DR Congo? What about them?
Like even now, in my case, man.
Mm.
I even want to have a T-shirt for DRC because it's similar, it's more like to Namibia.
Yeah.
But the problem is that there were no way to be found it.
Exactly.
You cannot find it. That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling. Yes, exactly. There's a prime example. This brother, he wants to give his money for a DR Congo shirt. But he can't. And he lives in Namibia, not too far away from DR Congo. But he can't do so. But he has the option to spend money on a France shirt. He has the option to spend money on an England shirt. He has the option to spend money on a Germany shirt. But he can't spend money on a DR Congo shirt. That's a problem. Okay? We did Malawi. Let's move to Rwanda. Rwanda actually provided an interesting perspective on this whole situation. I didn't expect to hear what you're about to hear now from Rwanda, from our actually Eagle Sports Zone alumni, Mr. Eli Barinyoza, over from what's Eli station called? From Station 10 over in Rwanda. Let's take a listen to the perspective that he provided.
My brother, thank you, man. Thank you so much. But in Kigali, seems to be different with Namibia because, you know, there's this one challenge of this World Cup, the time of the games. All the games are going to be played during the night. And Kigalians are not the ones who always like to spend the nights just watching the games. So that is one challenge. And the second is that there's, you know, speeding formations of the country of USA, how they're just treating Africans. You know, what happened the last 2 days of, there's last 2 days, there's, Somalis left Ali. They've denied their, his entry in USA and, Apart of that, all the things that are happening politically, it's just affecting football. You know, this wall of Ireland and the USA, it is just affecting the love of the game. The guys are not happy with the USA at all. Mm? Kigalians are not happy. Like, they know what is going on. They know how, USA president just treating those people from Africa, how they're treating people from Ireland. You know, when you gather all the informations, Kigalians are not happy at all. And when it comes to the jerseys of those countries of Europe, America, Africa, you know, it's not really being a big thing in Kigali. Like, it's actually, even Kigalians are saying that this should be the worst World Cup that ever going to be played, because they're not hot, they're not, you know, they're not happy at all with everything. So it is as if it's something that is going to happen in USA, Mexico, Canada, but they're not really in love with it. They're not happy with it at all. It'll happen. We'll do match commentaries live, of course, but they're not really fine and feel great with that. Some of us, yes, are waiting for it to start. Some of us watch the game. But when you see all the information that is being spread in USA, how you can check what happened yesterday near where England is located, earthquake, gun sortings, you know, things are not well as it used to be. So there's one. And the second is African countries to be there. We should expect more. We should expect something more in African countries, but when it comes to African countries in World Cup, the best country in Africa is Morocco. Like, most of us are expecting something big in Morocco. Should be the country to represent Africa to reach on higher level. Yeah, and the second question, I think it was about to... I got your second question. You know, because as I've answered the first question, it's now being a big thing in Kigali or in Rwanda. So it also answered the second question the same way. It is not being hot at all. It's as if it is something that's going to happen in USA, but not as if it's going to happen in South Africa or the thing. Like what happened before World Cup 22 in Qatar. The expectations, you know, the temper was high. But now, nowadays, it is not the same as I have explained before, yeah. Yeah, 100%. AFCON is our game. And, you know, sometimes in East Africa, in AFCON, we got being represented by two countries or three. Most of the time, it's Uganda, Tanzania, and sometimes Ethiopia, yes. So those are African countries. We also have DRC, neighboring country, always in AFCON. So it got exciting and interesting in AFCON. Wherever it takes place, whether Morocco, whether South Africa, yeah, we watch, we are interested. We talk a lot about AFCON. Even, you know, it's actually the difference is that this World Cup is going to take place in USA, where there is a time of the games are during the night, where people, or most of them, go to sleep. But when it comes to AFCON, Euro, or the World Cup that is going to take place somewhere that during the whole day to the African time, we got interested. But AFCON always were good because the time of AFCON, the national teams of AFCON, yeah, it's different. There's a big difference. We fall in love in AFCON than how it is in this World Cup, yeah.
So that was the perspective from Rwanda. Probably, I thought was an interesting perspective to say, you know, that the people of Kigali, at least, are actually disinterested in the World Cup. They aren't really interested because of, one, the politics happening in the World Cup, and two, the time difference. I found that to be quite interesting. But I also found it interesting that he said when AFCON time comes around, because this whole ordeal made me think now, you know, actually, when AFCON comes around, we don't see any flags in the shops. I only came to that conclusion, you know, throughout this week when I was preparing for the show, that when AFCON rolls around, even when Namibia is in the competition, you don't really see a significant increase of, one, Namibian merchandise being available, and two, merchandise of other African teams being available. We've never seen that. Unless anyone wants to call in and refute my claim with this, but we don't see that, like how we're seeing with the World Cup. So that just goes on to add on to what everyone is saying here. And okay, then we'll take one last trip around the continent. We're going to Zambia. We're coming back to SADC. We're coming back to Zambia. His name is Nicolas Shingwe. He works for a media company called Bola ya Kumwesu. Bola ya Kumwesu, yes, over in the city of Ndola in Zambia. Let's take a listen to what he had to say on this topic.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's really exciting that the World Cup is starting, and most of the teams are excited. And the first game being South Africa playing Mexico, it really has brought some division in terms of excitement, in terms of teams supporting African teams. It really divided. Some others feel like South Africa still deserves to be supported, but others are still split in the fact that maybe they should support Mexico more, feel attached to South Africa with the ongoing issues in South Africa. So maybe that's where they are divided. But overall, I can safely say they are excited, and we can see that almost these merchandise are all over. But you can never rule away the fact that use European merchandise. Obviously, England, Germany, Argentina are making more headlines than most of these African teams. I think that's one of the most. And being a sports reporter in Africa, it's always a challenge to really help out in terms of promoting African football, trying to convince to say African football is the way. And we are still pushing our way around, but I think sometimes even the feedback we get, even just the football itself, even the football clubs themselves, how much they engage more for us to be, for them to help us in terms of just bringing in these football fans to really love and be part of African African football. It's so difficult, but we try by all means. But we can say so far that objective hasn't been met yet, whereby we really want African to support fellow Africans. And when you come to the African, like Namibia, I wouldn't really be surprised looking at maybe the excitement and the popularity we add to our leagues and our players, just exciting. And just, you know, sometimes football is also about familiarity. They look at, maybe they are used to seeing these, the Rashfords on TV, the Messis on TV, and maybe the publicity is low in terms of our own players, which, if you can, maybe some of these fans, you can be surprised, they can mention maybe the starting lineup for England or Argentina. But if you ask them to say, what are some of the South African players we're looking forward to watch? What are some maybe of the Senegalese players we're looking forward to watch? Maybe they can mention a few popular like Sadio Mane, but overall they can't make the starting lineup for Senegal. That also plays an hindrance in terms of how these support these players. And personally, when we look at the team I'm going for the World Cup, I would say, in as much as I would love to see an African team win, but I know, obviously, my heart wants an African team to win. Being closer to Congo, definitely, will be the top number one team, DR Congo, being our neighbor. I think, especially that the region where I'm coming from, particularly, is the Copper Belt. And Copper Belt, we just interact with the Congolese. It's like we are just the same, and we're just nearby here. So we feel more attached and obliged to support Congolese as they root in the Africa, at the World Cup, representing Africa. So definitely that's my number one team. I'm a fan of Senegal, and I still have a small spot for Morocco. And I think despite also there are issues with other teams, but I feel these, in terms of football-wise, they play good football. So these three teams, I can say, safely say, they are my team for this World Cup. I don't have any other teams which I'm supporting in terms of these European teams. So basically, this just it.
Yes, there was our brother from Zambia giving us his insight on this issue. Not issue, but on this phenomenon, I guess we could say. On this situation happening at the World Cup. Okay, so, you know, we have around 10 minutes left, and We're going to wrap everything up, and I'm going to tell you why this is happening in our nation and on our continent. As we heard, it's not just Namibia. It's happening in other places in the continent as well. And before I get to that, remember, the Villager is coming out tomorrow. I'm going to have an article on this, going to have more details on what we just discussed on this, some more contributors to the topic as well. To become a subscriber, visit our social media pages so you can click on the link to subscribe via email, and you can become a subscriber via WhatsApp as well by sending a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact, and you will receive a link to the paper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you will also receive a link to our WhatsApp channel on WhatsApp that will keep you up to date with everything on the hour, on the minute, as things happen in the world and on the continent. Anyways, what is happening in Namibia? We'll start with Namibia. Okay, for one, we know our history, right? There's many descendants of Europeans here. There's many Europeans, period, here to begin with. I mean, we have a whole town, or if you want to call it a city now, called Little Germany, that I'm talking about Swakopmund. So our connection with Europeans is what it is. There's no hiding from that. That's why I said at the top of the show, it's actually just a simple supply and demand thing, right? And I also spoke to a street vendor, actually, one of the street vendors who was selling the flags. Obviously, I'm not going to reveal his identity. But I asked him, like, yo, like, why are you doing this? Why do you have more European flags than African flags? And he simply said, it's because they are the ones that spend the money on these things, you know? If I want to live in a fantasy land and, you know, have Senegalese flags, Congolese flags, and Ghanaian flags, sure, but they're not going to bring in revenue. That's just the reality. Why? Because Africans don't buy these things. Now we need to look at why don't Africans buy these things, okay? And so those of you that are loyal listeners of the Eagle Sports Zone, you know I talk about something on the Eagle Sports Zone. I've brought it up a few times. It's something called the psychological continuum model, right? This is a framework. This framework was actually developed by someone that taught me in university, right? But this framework is called the psychological continuum model, PCM for short. Let's go with PCM for short. This is a framework used basically to explain how an individual develops an emotional connection with sports, with an athlete, with an event, right? And how they go. The model states that a person goes through four stages, right? Because basically throughout the show, I've been asking myself, how is it possible that a person that lives in Namibia, right above South Africa, kind of below DRC, right? These are two teams in the World Cup. How is it possible that a person that lives basically sandwiched between DRC and South Africa, how is it possible that this person feels in their heart of hearts that it's okay, or that they prefer to spend their hard-earned money on merchandise of a European team, on merchandise of a South American team, over the two nations that I just mentioned that they basically live next to? How is this possible? Well, it's not by coincidence. And if you've been listening for the past hour or so, the journalists from around the continent basically laid out why this happens. But I'm gonna use the PCM to elaborate onto what they said, right? So the PCM consists of four stages. One is awareness, the second is attraction, third is attachment, and the fourth is allegiance. Okay? So if you had to take it from a let's say 0 to 4 scale, you start at 0 being awareness and 4 being the maximum allegiance. You know, when you, like some of the brothers from the continent said, I think it was the gentleman from Cameroon. Yeah, it was the gentleman from Cameroon. He even said he's been in Namibia and he asked Namibians, name me some players from Cameroon. I think the Zambian brother said, a lot of people, they know They can name the England lineup, but they can't name the Ghanaian lineup, for example, right? And they all alluded to how it's because the European teams are what's put in our faces, you know? It's what's marketed to us. It's what's in the media. It's what's on social media. It's what's on TV. It's what's on radio. But this is not happening by accident. The reason it's on all these platforms is because these organizations, these leagues, these entities, these brands behind these entities and organizations, they pay millions and millions of dollars for this to happen. You know, the reason us here in Namibia, in Southern Africa, in Africa in general, that we watch the Premier League the way we watch it isn't because the Premier League sees us. They just see us as some kind of charity case and they want us to have access to their football. No. It's a strategic move. It's a strategic investment to do what? To move the consumer from the awareness stage of the PSM to the allegiance stage. Why would you want to spend money on doing that? It's because when you get a person to move to the allegiance stage, they start spending money on you. Willingly, happily spending money on you. You know? Many Africans listening, many of you guys listening, I know you are aware of DR Congo. I know you're aware of Ghana. You might know a player too. You might know Semenyo on the Ghanaian team, but you only know Semenyo because why? He plays for Manchester City. Like the brother from Cameroon alluded. The Namibians told them they know Onana. Why? Because he played for Man United. They know Vincent Abubakar. Why? Because he scored big goals in the African Cup of Nations. He scored big goals at the World Cup too. I think probably his shining moment was that goal he scored against Portugal, if I'm not mistaken, right? You can name Samuel Eto'o. Why? Because he played for Barcelona. You can name, if you go to Ivory Coast, who's in the current Ivory Coast squad? Excuse me. As I was saying, you can name guys in the Ivory Coast squad. You know your guys like Diakite, you guys like Frank Keshi. You know these guys because they play for European teams. It's just that simple. So you are aware of Ivory Coast. You are aware of Ghana. You're aware of Egypt. If I say Egypt, everyone's going to say Mohamed Salah. I dare anyone with the last 4 minutes I have left to call in a name, just one more Egyptian player that's not Mohamed Salah. You can't do it. Well, most of you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because Salah is the only one that you know that plays for Liverpool. You don't know about the rest of the squad. You don't know about the guys that play in different leagues, whether it's in Egypt or around the continent or even anywhere else in the world. But you know those guys because why? Millions and millions of dollars have been spent on you to be this way, essentially. And really that's the gist of this whole conversation that we're having, is this model, this framework. It's all psychological and it's all intentional. Okay? Like I said, we're not watching the Premier League, the Champions League is not in our faces the way it is because, you know, UEFA and the English FA or whoever just love us. They want us to have access to their football. No, they want us to spend money on their products. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yeah, I'm back again.
Yes, what would you like to share with us?
No, I want to say my name one in a debit.
Oh, from Egypt?
Yeah.
Who do you have to name for us?
Mosa, that one for Manchester City. Because we never know, man. You cannot know the guy who are playing for Jamaica or because the problem, African, they are not already. You know why everybody knows the South African and the maintenance of South Africa everywhere.
Mm.
Because they are blending. They are blending everywhere.
Yeah.
But comparing him in like Namibia, if you want even a t-shirt for Namibia now, and the Shoga Chula Chula, you might able to get a Shoga Chula Chula t-shirt than Namibian.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. I think the advertisement and what markets is not those standard.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem I think we have as Africa.
I know you're
because if a t-shirt are available, like now I'm telling you I need a t-shirt for DLC, but there's no way to be found even maybe even they are supposed even to embassy to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then at least they have it, and even they have like a shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think really we need to start marketing the African way. I mean, because now, like, if you even ask a lot of kids about Salulile, they know, because he's playing in South Africa. But who know that Canadian team is playing for Rwandan team?
Exactly.
I mean, Sudanese team.
Exactly.
That's the problem. We don't know. We don't even know what the team is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also Zimbabwean, they are picking up a bit. Because we are having Namibian representing there, and now you can see that we are able even to view that there's, because we have, sometimes we, some of us, we like sport, we are following the players.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, that, yeah. But mostly Namibia, a lot of Namibia, they are just in South African.
Exactly.
Clubs.
Yeah. It's cause
that's
that,
why we know them.
That's who's being, you know, marketed to us.
Yeah. Marketed wise also.
Yeah. Mm.
But if Botswana can do that and Namibian Premier League also,
mm.
I'm telling you. We'll be able, even like now, if you want a t-shirt for Tega, it's not very hard for you to get it.
Yeah, or even
but it,
even Mighty Gunners. Can I buy a Mighty Gunners
oh,
shirt somewhere?
Exactly, or Mighty Gunners shirt.
Yeah.
It's hard to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes I think maybe we need even intervention layer where we can just have a local sport where a shop.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then you can just go there and buy whatever team you support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, not a problem for me to take money, even like 1,000 when you are compelling to buy a t-shirt because I support Arsenal. I can do the same also to buy a t-shirt for a local team, like now we are wearing from our Chula Chulas.
Exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all my contribution. Everybody, they need to pull up their socks, especially NPA, our Namibian football. Association. They need to do something.
100%.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, the caller is 100% correct there. And I would also like to, as I conclude, to make clear that I'm not saying there's anything wrong with supporting European teams. I mean, you're talking to someone that's a diehard Manchester United fan. Okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. And you're talking to someone that's, If I speak honestly on who I think will win the World Cup, you know, if I had to put money on it, my money is on either Spain or France. So I'm not here to say that as Africans we shouldn't support European clubs or European nations or, you know, enjoy the product that they give us, because it is an enjoyable product. We wouldn't be behaving this way if it wasn't an enjoyable product. My only point is that when African teams are involved, we need to match the energy that we have for the European teams for the African teams. When AFCON comes around, we need to treat it like it's AFCON, not like it's however it is that we treat it now. But in fairness, that has been improving over the years. I can't say that, but those of you listening, you understand my point. Anyways, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media pages. And in the Germany and Curaçao match, the last I saw it was 1-1. Let me just double check before I sign off here. Whoa, it is now 3-1 for Germany at halftime. Kai Havertz with the penalty. Schlotterbeck with the goal. And Nemcha with the other goal for Germany as well. But good to see Curaçao being on the score sheet against Germany is quite surprising, actually. So I think they've surprised many people with that one. But nonetheless, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. And today's edition of the Eagle Sports Zone was a special. A special World Cup edition. But yes, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you for tuning in. As always, I'll see you same time, same place next week, Sunday, here on the Eagle Sports Zone from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't forget to follow all of our social media pages. Download the Eagle FM mobile application. Subscribe to the Villager newspaper. download the Imba mobile application if you haven't already. You know, if you like to sing hymns, wedding season is coming up. So instead of carrying a big, heavy book, all kinds of heavy books for the different languages, different denominations, and so on, just put it in your phone. You carry your phone with you everywhere you go. You're on your phone all the time anyway, so why not have the hymns in your phone as well? But that is all from me today. Thanks for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, and we will be back same time, same place next week. Next week, we'll be debuting a new segment. Head to our social media pages if you want to see what that segment is. But that is all I have for you today. Have a productive and safe week ahead. And good luck to all of you, whichever team it is you're supporting, whether it's African or not, that you enjoy the World Cup. And hopefully I motivated you to start supporting African teams. Please.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.